Why the Little Frenchman Wears His Hand in a Sling. It's on my visiting cards, sure enough, and it's them that's all a pink satin paper, that any gentleman that places may behold the interest in words, Sir Patrick O'Grandison, Baronet, 39 Southampton Row, Russell Square, Parish of Bloomsbury. And should you be wanting to discover who is the pink of politeness quite, and a later of the hot ton in the whole city of London, why, it's just myself. And fate that same is no wonder at all, so be pleased to stop curling your nose, for every inch of the 6 weeks that I've been a gentleman, and left off with the bog trotting to take up with the baronessy, it's Patrick that's been living like a holy emperor, and getting the education and the graces. Och, wouldn't it be a blessed thing for your spirits if you could lay your two peepers just upon Sir Patrick O'Grandison Baronet, when he is already dressed for the hopper, or stepping into the brisky for the drive into the Hyde Park? But it's the elegant big figure that I have, for the reason of which all the ladies fall in love with me. Isn't it my own sweet self now that'll measure the 6 foot and the 3 inches more nor that in my stockings, and that I'm exceedingly well proportioned all over to match? And is it really more than 3 foot and a bit that there is anyhow of the little old fern of Frenchman that lives just over the way, and that's a-ogling and a-goggling the whole day, and bad luck to him, at a purty witty Mistress Treacle that's my own next-door neighbour, God bless her, and a most particular friend and acquaintance? You percave the little spalpeen is summit down in him out, and wears his left hand in a sling, and it's for that same thing, by your lave, that I'm going to give you the good raisin. The truth of the whole matter is just simple enough, for the very first day that I come from Connacht and showed my sweet little self in the street to the widdy, who was looking through the windy, it was a gone case altogether with the heart of the purty Mistress Treacle. I percaved it, you see, all at once, and no mistake, and that's God's truth. First of all, it was up with the windy in a jiffy, and then she threw up in her two peepers to the utmost, and then it was a little gold spyglass that she clapped high to one of them, and devil may burn me if it didn't spake to me as plain as a paper could spake, and says it through the spyglass, "Och, the tip of the morning to you, Sir Patrick O'Grandison, Baronet Mavourneen, and it's an eight gentlemen that ye are, sure enough, and it's myself and my 14 gist that'll be at your service, dear, any time of day at all for the asking." And it's not myself you would have to be baiting the perliteness, so I made her a bow that would have broken your heart altogether to behold, and then I pulled off my hat with a flourish, and then I winked at her hard with both eyes, as much as to say, "True for you, you're a sweet little creature, Mrs. Treacle, my darling, and I wish I may be drowned dead in a bog if it's not myself, Sir Patrick O'Grandison Baronet, that'll make a whole bushel of love to your ladyship in the twinkling of the eye of a Londonderry pretty." And it was the next morning, sure, just as I was making up my mind whether it wouldn't be the perlite thing to send a bit of writing to the widdy by way of a love letter, when up come the delivery sergeant with an elegant card, and he told me that the name on it, for I never could read a copperplate printing on account of being left-handed, was all about Monsieur de Count, a goose, look easy, maître de Downs, and that the whole of the divilish lingo was the spalpeeny long name of the old Ferner Frenchman as lived over to way. And just with that in come the little willin himself, and then he made me a brot of a bow, and then he said he had only taken the liberty of doing me the honour of giving me a call, and then he went on a palaver at a great rate, and divil a bit did I comprehend what he would be after to telling me it all at all, excepting and saving that he said, "Bully woo, woolly woo," and told me among a bushel of lies, bad luck to him, that he was mad for the love of my witty Mistress Treacle, and that my witty Mistress Treacle had a punching for him. At the hearing of this, you may swear, though, I was as mad as a grasshopper. But I remembered that I was Sir Patrick O'Grandison Baronet, and that it wasn't altogether gentile to let the anger get the upper hand of the politeness. So I made light of the matter and kept dark, and got quite sociable with the little chap. And after a while, what did he do but ask me to go with him to the widdy's, saying he would give me the fashionable introduction to her ladyship. "Is it there you are?" I said then to myself. "And it's true for you, Patrick, that you're the fortunest mortal in life. We'll soon see now whether it's your sweet self, or whether it's little Monsieur Maître de Downs that Mistress Treacle is head and ears in love with." With that we went off to the widdy's next door, and you may well say it was an elegant place, so it was. There was a carpet all over the floor, and in one corner there was a 40-penny and a Jew's harp and the devil knows what else, and in another corner was a Sophie, the beautifulest thing in all nature, and sitting on the Sophie, sure enough, there was a sweet little angel, Mistress Treacle. "The tip of the morning to you," says I, "Mrs. Treacle." And then I made such an elegant obeisance that it would have quite altogether bewildered the brain of you. "Woolly woo, bully woo, plump in the mud," says a little ferner Frenchman. "And sure, Mrs. Treacle," says he that he did, "isn't this gentleman here just his reverend Sir Patrick O'Grandison, Baronet, and isn't he altogether and entirely the most particular friend and acquaintance that I have in the whole world?" And with that a witty, she gets up from the sofy and makes the sweetest curtsy nor ever was seen. And then down she sits like an angel, and then, by the powers, it was that little spalpeen Monsieur Maitre de Downs that plumped hisself right down by the right side of her. Och, hon! I expected the two eyes of me would have come out of my head on the spot. I was so desperate mad. However, "But who," says I after a while, "is it there you are, Monsieur Maitre de Downs?" And so down I plumped on the left side of her ladyship, to be even with the willin. Botheration! It would have done your heart good to brave the elegant double wink that I gived her just ten right in the face with both eyes. But the little old Frenchman, he never began to suspect me at all, and desperate hard it was he made the love to her ladyship. "Woolly woo," says he. "Bully woo," says he. "Plump in the mud," says he. That's all to no use, Monsieur Frog Mavourneen, thinks I, and I talked as hard and as fast as I could all the while, and thought it was myself just had diverted her ladyship completely and entirely by reason of the elegant conversation that I kept up with her all about the dear bog of Connacht. And by she gave me such a sweet smile from one end of her mouth to the other, that it made me as bold as a pig, and I just took hold of the end of her little finger in the most delicatest of manner in nature, looking at her all the while out of the whites of my eyes. And then only percaved the cuteness of the sweet angel, for no sooner did she observe that I was after the squeezing of her flipper, than she up with it in a jiffy and put it away behind her back, just as much as to say, "Now then, Sir Patrick O'Grandison, there's a bitter chance for you, Mavourneen, for it's not altogether the gentile thing to be after the squeezing of my flipper right full in the sight of that little fern of Frenchman, Monsieur Maitre de Downs." With that I gived her a big wink just to say, "Let Sir Patrick alone for the likes of them tricks," and then I went easy to work, and you'd have died with the diversion to behold how cleverly I slipped my right arm between the back of the sofy and the back of her ladyship, and there, sure enough, I found a sweet little flipper all awaiting to say, "The tip of the morning to you, Sir Patrick O'Grandison, Baronet." And wasn't it myself, sure, that just give it the last little bit of a squeeze in the world, all in the way of a commencement, and not to be too rough with her ladyship? And och, botheration, wasn't it the gentilest and delicatest of all the little squeezes that I got in return? Blood and thunder, Sir Patrick Mavourneen, thinks I to myself. Fate, it's just a mother son of you, and nobody else at all, that's the handsomest and the fortunatest young bog trotter that ever come out of Connacht. And with that I give the flipper a big squeeze, and a big squeeze it was by the powers that her ladyship give to me back. But it would have split the seven sides if you were to laugh and to behold just then all at once the conceited behaviour of Monsieur Maitre de Downs. The likes of such a jabbering and a smirking and a parley-wooing as he begin with her ladyship was never known before on earth. And devil may burn me if it wasn't me own very two peepers that catched him tipping her to wink at her one eye. Och, hon! If it wasn't myself, tin, that was as mad as a Kilkenny cat, I should like to be told who it was. "Let me inform you, Monsieur Maitre de Downs," said I, as perlite as ever you seed, "that it's not a gentile thing at all, and not for the likes of you anyhow, to be after the oglin' and a gogglin' of her ladyship in that fashion." And just with that, another such squeeze as it was I gived her flipper, all as much as to say, "Isn't it Sir Patrick now, my jewel, that'll be able to the protecting of you, my darlin'?" And then there comed another squeeze back, all by way of the answer, "True for you, Sir Patrick," it said as plain as ever a squeeze said in the world, "True for you, Sir Patrick Mavourneen, and it's a proper knight gentleman ye are, that's God's truth." And with that she opened her two beautiful peepers till I believed they would have come out of their head altogether and entirely, and she looked first as mad as a cat at Monsieur Frog, and then as smiling as all out of doors at myself. "Din," says he, the willin, "och horn, and a woolly woo, pully woo," and then with that he shoved up his two shoulders to the devil the bit of his head was to be discovered, and then he let down the two corners of his purity trap, and then not a ha'porth more of the satisfaction could I get out of the spalpeen. Believe me, my jewel, it was Sir Patrick that was unreasonable mad tin, and the more by token that the Frenchman kept on with his winking at the widdy, and the widdy she kept on with the squeezing of my flipper, as much as to say, "At him again, Sir Patrick O'Grandison Mavourneen." So I just ripped out with the big oath, and says I, "You little spalpeeny frog of a bog-trotting son of a bloody noon!" And just then, what do you think it was that her ladyship did? Trotty jumped up from the sofa as if she was bit and made off through the door, and while I turned my head round after her in a complete bewilderment and butteration and followed her with me two peepers. Hippercave, I had reason of my own to knowing that she couldn't get down the stairs altogether and entirely, for I knew very well that I had hold of her hand, for devil the bit I had ever let it go, and says I, "Isn't it the least little bit of a mistake in the world that you've been after the making, your ladyship? Come back now, that's a darling, and I'll give you your flipper." But off she went down the stairs like a shot, and then I turned round to the little French furriner. Och, hon, if it wasn't his spalpeeny little paw that I had hold of in my own, why, then it wasn't, that's all. And maybe it wasn't myself that just died ten outright with the laughing, to behold the little chap when he found out that it wasn't a widdy at all that he had hold of all the time, but only Sir Patrick O'Grandison. The old devil himself never beheld such a long face as he pet Anne. As for Sir Patrick O'Grandison, Baronet, it wasn't for the likes of his reverence to be after the minding of a trifle of a mistake. You may just say it, oh, for it's God's truth, that afore I left hold of the flipper of the spalpeen, which was not till after her ladyship's footman had kicked us both down the stairs, I gived it such a neat little brot of a squeeze as made it all up into a raspberry jam. "Wooly woo," said he. "Bully woo," says he. "Good tam!" And that's just the truth of the reason why he wears his left hand in a sling.